We are glad to see the sunshine, too. I want to tell you hello from a few people. Rose Jake said to say hello to everyone, and Penny Kudrick said to say hello to everyone. And so those are two of the people I've heard from this week. And so that wanted to share their greetings, and so I wanted to extend that to you. Some of you have met Rose, some of you have not, and I believe all of you have met Penny. She usually sits right up here, so we are glad to have their greetings this morning. I want us to think about something. Has anyone ever had a really hard week? Just 53 in a year, 52 weeks in a year. So sometimes we have a really hard week. Or sometimes we have a stretch where things are just really difficult for us. And this morning I want us to talk a little bit about shelter in the rock. And there are some different things I want us to think about. But I want us to think about what we do and how we respond to the storms in life. Storms come. In this world, you will have trouble. I read that verse last week. It's a sure thing. There's going to be storms in life. There are going to be some things that are not going to be pleasant to go through, and we're going to have some hard times. It may be with something physical. It may be something emotional. It may be something spiritual. There are lots of different ways that we can have storms in our life. Maybe it's where you work. You have a storm in your life. Maybe your work causes you difficulty, your neighbors cause you difficulties, or there's family stuff. I'm sure that some of you have this where you have certain family members who aren't talking to other family members. Anybody have that? Okay. And then they finally make up, and then they get upset again. So it's kind of one of those cycles, and then you can't figure out why you're also now not being talked to as well. I don't know if that happens to anybody else, but that happens to in our family, and I know it does happen in other people's families. But there are lots of storms and trials that we go through in life. In Scripture, I want us to look at some things that happened to people who had storms and trials in life. And I want to remind you of something really important. They didn't know how things were going to turn out. We look back at different people and we think, oh, well, it all worked out for them. But think about while they were in it, they didn't know how it was going to turn out. They didn't know what was going to happen next. In Scripture, we have a picture of the Lord being our rock, a shelter for all of us. Now, I want us to look at the story of Hannah briefly. If you turn with me, and this morning I'm going to be reading out of the Modern English Version, just because I kind of like how it puts it. But in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, we think about Hannah, and Hannah had some issues. Now, the issues that Hannah had was that she was married to a nice man named Elkanah, and they were pretty happy, but Elkanah also had another wife named Peninnah. Now, here's the problem. It was considered wonderful if you had children. It was considered a curse if you never bore children. That's just how it was. That was the social expectation of the day. Now, Hannah was in the position where Peninnah was just shooting out the kids like crazy. Okay, one after the other. Hannah was not. Hannah was considered barren. And as if that wasn't bad enough, Peninnah, the other wife, would be rather rude and cruel about it and say, ha ha, I've got another child and you don't. I bore sons and you didn't bear any children. This really, really upset Hannah. Well, God heard Hannah's cry. Because Hannah had two choices she could make in her situation. She could stay discouraged because she was very discouraged. Very discouraged about her situation. When she went to the temple they went yearly to offer a sacrifice. And when she went up to the temple, she was in such hard spot and so moved in her soul that she was praying and her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out. And she was just crying out before the Lord. And Eli, the high priest, was like, you know, you're drunk. Don't be drunk when you come here. And she said, no, my heart is bitter with all of this sadness and sorrow. And Eli realized that she was praying earnestly. And he said, you know, God's going to grant your prayer. So Hannah could have stayed discouraged. Or she could bring her problem before the Lord, her rock, and let him work it out. Which when she went to the temple, that's what she did. She was laying it out before the Lord. She was saying, this is what's on my soul. This is what's bothering me. This is really upsetting my whole being. And after she gave birth to Samuel, her son, this is what she prayed. And we're going to pick it up at chapter 2. It says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is bold against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you, and there is no rock like our God. Do not multiply proud speech, nor let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are examined. The bows of the mighty are broken, but those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and those that were hungry ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she that has many children wastes away. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the oppressed from the dunghill to make them sit with princes and inherit a throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth belong to the Lord, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces. He will thunder against them out of heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And she said, not only that, he can serve in the temple. And Eli the priest allowed him to do so. Now I want us to look at verse 18. If we jump to verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord as a boy, wearing a linen ephod. Now his mother would make him a little coat and bring it to him every year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you offspring from this woman for the sake of the request which was made to the Lord. Then they would return to their home. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. So she went from not having any kids to having 3 sons and 2 daughters. Plus she had Samuel. And Samuel was served in the house of the Lord. She had 2 options. She could stay discouraged, or she could go to the rock, to the Lord, and bring her trouble there. She could bring her cares before the Lord and trust him with it so that he could take care of it. This is a picture of an artist's rendering of Eli blessing little Samuel when he was brought to the temple by Hannah. And I thought it was a pretty sweet picture of that. Another example, and I want to explain this a little bit. Another example is David. And David had 2 choices. Now, if you look up in this picture, I want to show you something in this picture. There is a pointer thing. Okay, In the middle? Ah, perfect. Thank you. So do you see this man who's sleeping down here? This one. That one is King Saul. He went to sleep in a cave. Now, the reason that he was asleep in a cave is because he was pursuing David. Because he was upset with David. Because David was the anointed person to be the next king. And people liked David, and God favored David. God had taken his blessing away from Saul and was blessing David more because David had a pure heart. So, as Saul is sleeping in this cave, and he's been pursuing David, wanting to kill David, David and his friends are in this cave, and they see that Saul is sleeping, and you see the man is holding a spear. He's going to kill Saul because he has the opportunity, but David's stopping him because David said, no, Saul is still the anointed king at the moment. This is God's business, not ours. We can't harm God's anointed king. Even though the anointed king was trying to kill David, the next anointed king. So, they didn't kill Saul. He said, put your spear away. Instead, they cut off a little tiny piece of his garment. And they brought it back. And when Saul, the story ends up that when Saul saw that David was that close that he had cut off a piece of his garment and didn't take the opportunity to kill him, he said, I've been wrong. I need to stop doing this, is what he said. So, David had two choices. He could have cowered in fear when Saul was chasing after him. He could have done that. He had lots of opportunities to cower in fear when his enemies were against him. He could have let the fear immobilize him so that he would become a terrible leader. Fear can really immobilize a person. Do you know about fear that immobilizes? Okay, some of us have it, right? When I'm near a snake, my whole body freezes. Right. Now, I've gotten a lot better, but it just makes you can't function. There are times when fear stops us right in our tracks. However, we know that fear is not what God wants for us. It's not his design. I mean, there's healthy fear, and then there's negative fear. So David could have cowered, become a terrible leader, could have let fear immobilize him, or he could trust in the rock of his salvation to bring about the safety and the victories that he needed. Fighting Goliath was not the only thing that David did. He fought a lot of other enemies. There were other enemies other than the Philistines that he fought during his time. And he needed the Lord's help and protection each time. And there were times when he had played the harp for Saul and it soothed Saul. But then Saul tried to kill him. Saul actually tried to throw a spear at David when David was there playing a harp for him to help console him. Because he just got so angry and his spirit was so distressed. So David had two choices when he came to this trial. When he came to the trials in life, he could have let fear immobilize him. He could have let it make him feel defeated. He could have just stepped down and said, okay, this isn't my cup of tea. This isn't my bag. I'm just going to go back to being a shepherd. I'm sure my father needs help watching the sheep. But he didn't. He went to the Lord, his rock, who helped him. He put it before him. Many of the Psalms that we read are David putting it before the Lord, putting it before the rock. Now, if we turn to Psalm 18, if we look in Psalm 18, And I just want you to know that this passage we're going to look at is retold in 2 Samuel 22. So if you want to look it up in a different spot, you can, but Psalm 18 is where we're going to look at it. And this is David who's saying this. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my pillar and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I will be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encircled me, and torrents of destruction terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called on the Lord and cried for help to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help came before his ears, before him to his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundation of the hills also moved. They reeled because of his anger burned. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured coals were kindled by it. He bent the heavens and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion was surrounding him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed by, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightning and distressed them. This sounds like an awful storm, doesn't it? Then the channels of waters appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at a blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, as he has repaid me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has repaid me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his view. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself crooked. For you will save the afflicted people, but will bring down prideful eyes. For you will cause my lamp to shine. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run through a troop, and by my God I can leap a wall. As for God, his way, it has integrity. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. For who is God except the Lord? Or who is a rock besides our God? It is God who clothes me with strength and gives my way integrity. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and causes me to stand on the high places. He trains my hands for war so that my arms bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You have lengthened my stride under me so that my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not return until they were destroyed. I wounded them, and they were not able to rise. They were fallen under my feet. For you clothed me with strength for the battle. You subdued under me those who rose up against me. You gave me the necks of my enemies, and I destroyed those who hate me. They cried for help, but there was none to save them. Even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I cast them out as the dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the hostilities of the people, and you have made me the head of nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. At hearing a report, they obey me. Foreigners come cringing to me. Foreigners fade away and come quaking out of their prisons. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forevermore. This is David's psalm of praise. It's also his psalm of telling what it is that God did for him and how he did it. He chose to hide himself in the rock. He chose to hide himself in the Lord. He said, Lord, help me. And God helped him. God helped him. In trials, we have to remember that God can help us. He had two choices. He could have cowered and just gone off, been a shepherd again or something. Or he could hold on to the promises of God. And he could hold on to who God is, knowing that God would deliver him. He didn't always know. He didn't know exactly how it would turn out. But he trusted God. In the New Testament, Jesus gives us a parable about this. And the parable is about, it's called the wise and foolish builders. And in Matthew chapter 7, the wise and foolish builders, Jesus is telling a parable about how we should build our lives. He gives us a parable about how we should build our lives, making sure that we build our lives on a solid foundation instead of something that's shaky. So in Matthew 7, going to look at verse 24. Matthew 7:24, Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine who does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. When Jesus finished saying these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus was saying, you need to have your house built on the rock. You need to have your house, your life, built on a solid foundation. Who is the most solid foundation? God. Because God doesn't change. God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He doesn't shift. He's not one of those shifty characters. He is solid, immovable. That's who God is. He's solid. Jesus was bringing us God's word. And he said, if you're building your life upon these words, you're like a person who's building their life upon a solid, firm foundation. A solid rock where God is helping us. So, you can see that there's a house built on sand. Do you want to live in that one? Yeah, I don't either. It kind of looks like it's going to wash out to sea. That's no fun. How about that house over there? Other than it looks like it's a whole lot bigger real estate. Other than that, I think I'd rather live over there. Because that looks like a nice solid spot. It's high up on the rock. It's not got the waves. The waves aren't going to come and crash on it unless there's some sort of tsunami, which, you know, is an odd thing. But the normal storms, you know, that looks like it's going to belt. It's going to go out in the next big one. We want to make sure that we are building on a solid rock in our life and not on sand. We want to make sure that we're building solidly. I want to share with you a small story that I'm sure you've heard before, and there are several different variations of this. But there was a captain of a ship who looked into the dark night and saw a light in the distance. And immediately he told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees north, or alter your course 10 degrees south, rather. He promptly received a reply. Alter your degrees, your course 10 degrees north. So the ship captain says to the light, alter your course 10 degrees south. And the light says, alter your course 10 degrees north. The furious captain sent another message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain. Soon another signal was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. The captain sent a final message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. The reply was, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. Your call. As I said, there are several different variations of this story, but I give it to you as a point. The lighthouse is on the rock. The ship is out at sea. The lighthouse is on something solid. The ship is bobbing up and down and back and forth. The seaman is saying things from a direct, solid point. The captain of the ship is saying things from a spot where he's moving back and forth in the water. Not very solid. I want you to think about that. Now, I mentioned a little earlier that there were people who went through different trials, and they didn't always know how things were going to work out. When we're in the middle of a trial or something that's going wrong, we don't know how it's going to end up. There are Bible characters that didn't know how it was going to end up either. These are some examples of others who went through trials who did not know what the outcome would be in the midst of the trial, but God helped them because of their rock-solid faith in him. If you think to Moses, when he had to appear before Pharaoh and say, let all that slave labor go, that was not going to be a popular message. He didn't know what was going to happen. Pharaoh could have said, off with his head. He could have said that. But Pharaoh didn't say that. He came before Pharaoh several times. You remember how many plagues there were? Remember each time before there was a plague, Moses went in and appeared before Pharaoh. Each time Pharaoh said no, there was a plague. And Pharaoh was getting tired, of course. However, Moses had to be bold to do that. God gave him that strength to be bold. But he didn't know what was going to happen at any point in time. I mean, I would be sweating bullets. Because that's tough. You don't know what's going to happen. And then when they had to go through the Red Sea, I mean, we don't just part water every day and walk through it. That must have been difficult for Moses. God filled him with a lot of faith. Not only did he have to walk through the Red Sea, but he had to lead all those people behind him. And they had to walk through it too. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if it says the waters were parted on either side. You don't know if at any point in time that water is going to come rushing back in. You just don't know. We know that God kept it apart. But in our natural minds, that would have been very difficult. Jonah, he was in the belly of a dark whale, for pity's sake. I mean, How many of us have ever gotten swallowed by a whale? Okay, I'm glad I saw no hands up. Because I can't even imagine being swallowed by a whale. Jonah was fish food. He's in there. It's dark. He has no idea what's going to happen. That's a scary place. You think you're seasick on a boat. I can't even imagine if you were inside the belly of a fish going up and down. That would be awful too. He prayed. He prayed earnestly. I mean, I think I would be praying too. Amazing that he could breathe as well. And there's lots of different scientific theories on how that happened. But he was crying out to God. He didn't know what was going to happen. The fish got stomach flu and threw him up on shore. Now that was a divine happening, okay? God had the fish spit Jonah back out. But Jonah did not know when he was in the middle of the fish, in the belly of the fish, what was going to happen next. He didn't know how things were going to transpire. He had to just believe and trust in the rock. Daniel had a couple of instances where he didn't know what was going to happen to him. He didn't know what was going to happen. Remember when he refused to eat the king's food and said, I'm going vegetarian, thank you very much. Veggies and water, that's what you can give me to eat for these 10 days and see if I'm just as healthy or not healthy. I mean, if you're going against the king's orders, that's not taken lightly. That could get you imprisoned. Daniel didn't know how that was going to go, but he did it with faith in God. Then when he was in that den of lions, I can't even imagine. That would be scary. Do you like animal teeth? Does anyone like animal teeth? I don't like animal teeth. I've had some not so lovely experiences with animal teeth in my life that make me just not fond of them. I'm glad animals have teeth. I just don't want their teeth on me. So, Daniel's in there, and everybody knows that the lions eat people. That's why they had the lion's den, so that they could throw the bad people in there. They threw Daniel in there, and Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. Except for God shut the mouths of the lions. All of a sudden, they didn't have an appetite. And we know that they weren't just strange lions, because it says after they took Daniel out and they threw in the people that had accused Daniel, it says that the lions were eating them even before their feet hit the floor, like hit the bottom of the cave. I mean, that's crazy. Of course, they had just not eaten Daniel, but all of a sudden their appetites had returned. He didn't know how that was going to turn out. When he was standing there, eyeball to eyeball with a lion, he didn't know how that was going to go. This week I was reading through the book of Ruth again. Ruth didn't know how things were going to go. She left her homeland with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She left her family to go to some place she had never lived before and never seen before. That's a lot of guts. And then she worked gleaning in the fields. And it's interesting because if you read the book of Ruth, you find out that gleaning in the fields could be a dangerous thing for a woman to do, because there were different people who would come and abuse you, and some who would take advantage of you as you were out gleaning in the fields. That's why Boaz says, keep her close to our women. And he says, I've asked the men to kind of look out for her so that she doesn't fall prey to any of that while she's gleaning in our fields. I mean, that took guts. She had to trust that God was going to take care of her. in this new country doing this new job she hadn't had to do before. And she really had to trust when she approached Boaz. If you read that whole section over again where she has to go to the threshing floor and it's not supposed to be known that a woman has gone to the threshing floor, and she goes in there and she goes in and Boaz has covered himself with a blanket like this, right? Or with a cloak. And then she's laying at his feet and she has to uncover his feet, and that wakes him up, and then he's startled because there's a woman at his feet at the threshing floor. And she didn't know what he was going to say. He might have said, "You're a nasty woman, get out of here." He might have said all sorts of things. But he didn't. He heard her request, and he was agreeable to her request. And he followed the matter through right the next morning. And he became the kinsman redeemer for Ruth. But in the meantime, she didn't know what she was going to get. Women, how many of you have ever had someone reject you? Have you ever felt the sting of rejection? Uh-huh. It's not pretty. You don't like it. Why would you want to put yourself in that situation where you could be rejected? But she had to do it, and she did it by giving it to God. Trusting her mother-in-law, Naomi, who had given it to God. Saying, this is what we need to do, and this is in God's hands. I'm sure it was tough. The Apostle Paul, multiple times throughout his ministry, there were things that he didn't know how it was going to turn out. Remember, they nearly stoned him to death and left him for dead? I mean, like, you don't know how that's going to turn out. You might think, well, maybe this is it. I mean, but he survived. God helped him through it. He even helped Paul through the shipwreck. If you've ever been on a boat when it's been really rocky, you don't like it so much. They were in a storm. They were in a shipwreck. He didn't know how this was all going to play out. Now, the Lord did appear to him and gave him encouragement, which he shared with the centurion that was with him. However, he still didn't know how it was all going to play out. He didn't know if he was going to have his head knocked to pieces by boards or what was going to happen. And when they landed on the island, they didn't know if they were going to be well received or not well received. And then when he's on the island, he gets bitten by a poisonous snake. You don't know how that's going to turn out either. I mean, if you see that a poisonous snake has just bitten you, you're probably going to freak out a little bit. I know I would. It's a natural reaction. We all would freak out a little, right? You shouldn't freak out because that makes your adrenaline go, and then that makes everything worse. You should stay calm. But we are human. Paul made it through the snake, poisonous snake bite, and he wasn't even harmed. But he didn't know that necessarily until it happened. God brought him through those trials. God brought him through the trials. One I don't have listed up here, but is Esther. Esther, when she had to go in to the king and she went in uninvited, she didn't know if he was going to put his scepter forth to accept her or not. The custom at the time was the king would put his scepter out if you were accepted in his court, and then you would touch the end of the scepter. She didn't know if he was going to extend that or not. Because if he didn't, you displeased the king, wasn't good for you. So, we need to think about God, our rock. We need to think about how Jesus pointed out that we need to build our life on the foundation of God's word. And Jesus shared God's word with us. So, when trouble comes, when the news is bad, when the situation looks dire, you have two choices. You have two choices. One, you can get discouraged and build on shifting landscape and unreliable voices, like the voice of the sea captain in the ship, an unreliable voice, right? You can listen to those voices You can get discouraged. You can do that. Or your other option is you can look to the rock and build on the solid landscape of his voice and promise to carry you through. That would be like listening to the voice of the person in the lighthouse. We need to remember what we can do in the face of trials. What we can do. We need to look to the rock. We need to build on the rock. We need to take our cares to God. Bring them before him. Bring them before him so that he can carry us through. He doesn't say how he's going to carry us through. And just like those characters we just mentioned, he doesn't give us a nice road map where we can see where we're going and saying, okay, at this point, yeah, you're going to fall and scrape your knee, but you're going to be okay. You're going to get up and you're going to walk back and you're going to be okay and go on. He doesn't tell you that one of your best friends is going to, you know, turn on you halfway through. He doesn't tell you, oh, yeah, and you're going to have this disappointment along the way, but I'm bringing you through this. He doesn't tell us those things during the trials because he's carrying us through. We have to have faith in the rock. Not look around us, but look at what's solid. Look at God who doesn't change and his promise for us. I want to encourage you with one last verse this morning in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I want us to read verse 7. It says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. God cares for you more than you can imagine. More than you can even fathom. The times when I've looked back on my life and I've seen where God has been working and I wasn't even aware of it. Where God was working things out. I couldn't see it at the time, but he was doing it. He was bringing me through trials. And when he brings us through trials, guess what? We build muscle. We build spiritual muscle. And we become stronger and more closely identified with the rock. We become stronger when we go through the trials, but only when we choose to go through them, looking to the sure foundation that we have. We're going to close this morning service with a song that talks about storms of life and talks about trusting on the rock and trusting on the words of the rock, trusting in God and trusting in Jesus to bring us through trials and tribulations. I just want to encourage you, if you are going through something, talk to your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can encourage you. There are difficulties in life. We face them. We face disappointments. We face trials. We face weird situations that we don't even know what to do with it. Sometimes we're left with a situation where we're just kind of like, what do I do with this? Talk to your Christian brothers and sisters. Talk to God. Ask him for guidance and wisdom. And he will help you through the troubles.